The young man Daniel was so superior for five kings, he was actually appointed to be the top advisor. Until at the end, one of the kings that he served was Cyrus the Great, and the Jews would be released from captivity and brought back to Jerusalem. Why? Probably because of an influencer, a history maker, a world changer named Daniel, who was noted as someone who had an excellent spirit.
And that is the topic of today's message, developing a spirit of excellence. Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. For the next 2 days, we're taking a deep dive into one of Pastor Wayne's favorite vital characters, Daniel. We'll see five distinguishing characteristics he had that set him a cut above everyone else in the kingdom. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Spirit of Excellence.
Well, welcome, everybody. Today, we're going to be talking about one of the most important things about you. It's more important than your past, more important than your skills, more important than your talent, and more important than your looks. It's one of the most important things, and God is actually targeting it as He looks at you and at me. But that most important thing is not going to be revealed on Easy Street. It's only revealed in the tests. It's in the tests that this is going to be revealed. You say, well, what is that? Well, today we're going to visit with a man named Daniel out of the Old Testament, one of my heroes, and find out why he was about to be defined as a man with a spirit of excellence. In fact, it's one of our core values here at New Hope West, and in these pre-service gatherings, we're trying to go through principles of doing church as a team that are very, very important to us. This is sort of like our DNA. It's sort of like the culture that we want to build. And here's one of the 9 core values. We're going to print them all out for you in a subsequent service. But on this one here, let me just kind of go through this one with you. It's about being excellent because God's worthy of it. Would you read it with me as it comes up here? Read that. Go. New Hope West core value number 6. We believe that God is worthy of our... Do you believe that? Yeah, we can stop right there, but let's continue to read. Go. Therefore, a growing spirit of excellence should permeate every activity. Not perfection, but excellence with consistent evaluation and a willingness to improve for the sake of the kingdom is distinctive of New Hope West. So a spirit of excellence. I tell ushers, when you hand out bulletins, don't hand them out with your hands. Hand them out with your heart. When you wipe a table, just don't use a dish rag. Use your heart, because God's going to see that, and that's what He looks for. And that's why I'm wearing the shirt, to remind you for this whole message, the bullseye that God is placing on our lives, because that's what He's listening for, the heart. Well, you test. You can tell a lot about people, how they do on tests. Isn't that true? There's this one funny story of a student that was in a large class, about 200 in a very large university, and he was studying ornithology. Now, ornithology is a study of birds, their migration habits, their breeding habits, their food intake, their culture, their social types of habits, and so everything about them, and just tons of birds because he wanted to work in that field. Well, it just apexed to the point where this test would be the most important test of their whole year. If they flunk this test, they're out. So he had to do well. So he studied like crazy. Finally, the test day came, and he enters the large classroom. But instead of receiving a test, there's about 100 pictures that the professor had just taped, scotch taped on the wall of bird legs. Just bare bird legs. And the test was, you have to define or find out what bird belongs to those legs. And you could hear the groans in the students, like, what is this? This is nuts. Finally, one of the kids with a lot of courage stood up and he said, "This is just crazy. It's unethical and it's unfair. We've studied so much about ornithology and you give us bird legs. Bird legs. You want us to identify the birds that go with the bird legs. No way." Well, the professor said, "If you don't take this test, you're going to fail the course." He said, "Then I'll fail the course. It's stupid anyway." The professor said, "All right, if you leave." He said, "Yep, I'm leaving." He picked up his books. "If you leave, son, you're going to get an F." He turned around and said, "Well, I'm leaving." So the professor said, "Okay, you're going to get an F." He said, "Oh, I don't care." He said, "All right, what's your name?" He turned around, pulled up his pant leg and said, "You tell me." Tests. You tell a lot about people by their tests. And I'm going to give you a little short math test. Are you ready? This is a math test, and how you do on this, I can tell a lot about you. Believe it or not, it's going to happen right now. I'll tell you. All right, so here's the test. And you can do this in your head or on your piece of paper, but it's just a few questions about math. Are you ready? Okay, here it is. Number one, I want you to pick a number. Don't tell me or anybody else. Pick a number between 1 and 10. It could be 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So between 1 and 10, all right? That'd be a whole number between 1 and 10. Got it? Okay, now, number two, I want you to take that number and multiply it by 2. Not hard, okay? Next, this is the toughest one, add 9 to it. 9. You can help your neighbor on this one. 9, okay? See, some need help. They're remedial math people. All right, and then number, the next one, minus 3, okay? So you multiplied it by 2, added 9, now you're going to minus 3. Now you're going to divide it by 2. Got it? Now I want you to subtract your original number. I bet your answer is 3. Yeah, I told you I can tell a lot about you from the tests. Yeah, you want to know how that's done? It costs you $10 after the service. Yeah, I got to get a part-time job, so that's how it is. I'd like to watch people during their tests. I like to watch especially successful people. Successful in their relationships with one another, in their family, with strangers, in their vocation or career. I like to watch successful people. You know why? Because they leave clues behind as to why they're successful. Maybe it's the way they stand. Maybe the way they walk or sit or listen to you or shake your hand or the sincerity with which they do what they do. Or maybe the bravery and the drivenness when it comes time to battle that they have. They know when to get serious. They know when to have levity. It's like, I like to watch them because they're leaving clues behind as how you can do the same. And today we're going to visit with a person that's very successful out of the Old Testament. His name? Daniel. Daniel was tested multiple times. He was living in Jerusalem when King Nebuchadnezzar's army in 586 BC come down and lay siege to Jerusalem, kill a bunch of them, and now they've ransacked the city, the hometown of Daniel. They export the best of the best Jewish young men and women, and then to change their identities, they then bring in Babylonian people in government. The best of the best go. And then Babylonian government comes in, change Jerusalem, and now they're going to change the young men and women from Jews into Babylonians. So you know what they do? They change their diet, change their clothes, change their names. In fact, 3 of them, Azariah, Mishael, Hananiah, they're now known by their Babylonian names. You might know them, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. That wasn't their names. That's Babylonian names. It was Azariah, Mishael, Hananiah. But see, what they do is they change your name. They change the way you dress, your eating habits. In fact, they have you intermarry now with Babylonians. So your identity is completely changed and diluted. But these Jewish people, they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't intermarry. They wouldn't eat the king's food. In fact, they said, "You can test us. And after a certain amount of time, you can see if we're better or worse because we stick with our diet." So the king said, "Okay." And after that certain period of time, they found the Jewish young men 10 times better than the Babylonians. The young man Daniel was so superior in his ability to deal with people and problems when he was tested, they changed his name to Belteshazzar, not to be confused with Belshazzar, which is one of the Babylonian kings that we're going to talk about. But his name was changed to Belteshazzar, and for five kings, he was actually appointed to be the top advisor. Five kings, all godless, until at the end, one of the kings that he served was Cyrus the Great, and the Jews would be released from captivity and brought back to Jerusalem. Why? Probably because of an influencer, a history maker, a world changer named Daniel, who was noted as someone who had an excellent spirit. You see, when you have that spirit of excellence, people know you're going to succeed. Doesn't matter what job they give you, they know that you're going to figure it out and you're going to do well at it. Well, what about this job? What about that job? Well, it's not his skill set, but I bet he's going to do well at it. I bet she's going to do well. Why? Because they got the spirit for it. Daniel was that kind of person, and he was known throughout the scriptures at this time, even in the New Testament. He's actually noted again and again. Well, there's going to be a definition of Daniel. He's going to have five character qualities, and we're going to test ourselves to see how we compare in just a moment. But the one we're going to camp on is a spirit of excellence. Let's read what is said about Daniel and actually defines him. It's at the top of your notes. So for the next 30 minutes, let's talk about one of the most important things about you, and it is exampled in Daniel. Would you read it with me at the top of your notes? Go. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. This was because a spirit of excellence, knowledge and insight, interpretation of dreams, explanation of enigmas, and solving difficult problems were found in this Daniel. So Daniel was brought before the king. Interesting five things, five character qualities. The first is a spirit of excellence. We're going to talk about that. The second is knowledge and insight. You can have knowledge, but use it poorly. You can have a position and actually use it and do things that you shouldn't do just because I can. Knowledge and insight. Interpretation of dreams. There's some people that come to me and say, Wayne, I had a dream about you. I think, oh man, he must have had pizza or sauerkraut. So then they'll tell me that dream and I'll say, that's not a dream, that's a nightmare. So, but what does it mean to have the interpretation of dreams? Simply saying this, Daniel knew what God was saying. Whichever delivery system God used, Daniel discerned what God was saying. And then four, explanation of enigmas. Enigma is something difficult to untangle, difficult to try and figure out in your mind. And Daniel was able to make those simple. And then the solving of difficult problems, he's able to make difficult things simple. A lot of times, people make simple things difficult. Daniel took difficult things and made them simple. Now, we're going to have another test. Are you ready for it? We're going to compare ourselves to where Daniel was to see how we fare in this test of five different character qualities. So I'd like you to circle one through five. One through five. Five is like, that's me all the time. Four is, that's me 90% of the time. Three is, that's me sometimes. Two is, once in a while, I hit that mark. And if you put one, that means, I don't know who you're talking about, but that ain't me. So, here it is. Number one, excellent spirit. I am known as someone who possesses a positive attitude and for always bringing a fresh perspective to each problem that arises. All right? One is low, five is high. All right, two, don't copy your neighbor now. Here we go, knowledge and insight. I am known as one who is constantly increasing in knowledge, and they see the evidence of that in my life and actions. Because a lot of people learn, but never apply. Three, interpretation of dreams. I am known as one, through whatever situations and circumstances may arise, can discern what God is saying. Okay, one through five. Four, explanation of enigmas. I have a reputation of making difficult issues simple and comprehensible and much more understandable. Okay, 1 through 5. And 5, solving difficult problems. I am known as one that when complicated situations arise, and I am able to solve these problems in a way that everyone benefits. All right? Write down 1 through 5. Test. Okay? Well, there were 5 there, possible 25 points. So if you scored 25, we will be naming a book of the Bible after you. Okay? All right. Like Daniel. If it's 20 to 24, you could have been the next pope, but sorry, you missed it. If you scored 15 to 19, you'll only spend 1 year in purgatory. And then 14 or under, you're in the right place, but please buy an extra copy of this message so you can listen to it again and again and again. Just a fun test. But you could see how Daniel was reputed as someone who had a wonderful and excellent spirit. Because you can tell a lot about a person just by their spirit. They say you communicate in 3 ways. 1, words. 2, gestures, like I'm doing here. And 3, your spirit. Which one do you think is the most important? Yeah, the spirit. It's not what you do. It's the heart with which you do what you do. And that's what God is putting the bullseye on. Well, Daniel is going to example this to us and maybe how we can develop a spirit of excellence. And in the bottom line, it's going to come to this. Not your heart, the heart of Jesus. Wait for it, listen for it, and it'll help you a bunch. Let me give you some history. 50 miles south of Baghdad was one of the most impressive cities in the world. It was like the New York of that area 10 times over. In this area called Babylon, which is a city, the Tigris and the Euphrates ran through. Now, if you recall, in the Garden of Eden, there were 4 rivers, Gihon, Pishon, and then there was also the Tigris and the Euphrates. This is actually built in the Fertile Crescent, or the cradle of humankind or civilization. That's where it started. Now, Babylon was there. In fact, it was so amazing that they took one of the tributaries, offshoots of the Euphrates, and built their city, ran this right under their city. So they would have fresh water in this underground canal, and then they would build wells. So right through the city, a fresh river was running. I mean, it's just that amazing. And then in the king's palace, there was several wells, fresh water all the time. The city itself, 60 miles in circumference. Part of it you'll see on the screen behind me, but if you think 60 more miles in circumference, in some parts of the city, the walls were 300 feet tall. On the top, it was nearly 80 feet wide, so that 4 chariots abreast could run easily. There were over 100 towers just for the defense of this city. You might recall one of the 7 wonders of the world. Do you remember what they called it? The Hanging Gardens of Babylon. Amazing. One of the 7 wonders of the world. Here's where it was. Now, Daniel was in Jerusalem when King Nebuchadnezzar's army in 586 BC went and demolished Jerusalem. Now, Nebuchadnezzar is an amazing king. He's the one that had all of this built. However, one day he was walking on the top of that beautiful city, and he was filled with pride, saying, "Look what I built. I can build anything." And the Bible says that he actually went insane. He became so prideful, so self-centered. Everything just was a vortex in himself, and he went mad for a season. It wasn't until he repented to give God the glory that his mind came back. Now, we find him here, Daniel, as we enter into this story. He was once young, but now he's 80 years old. So you put down Nebuchadnezzar, Nabonidus, and a few others, and then you have this king called Belshazzar. Not Belteshazzar, that's Daniel, but Belshazzar, King Belshazzar. When Nebuchadnezzar raided Jerusalem, he took all of the golden chalices and silver cups from the temple that were dedicated to communion or to the things of God. He took them into his palace. There he had a museum of all of this precious kind of chalices and bowls, etc., used in the temple. Well, Belshazzar was going to hold a feast. Now remember, Daniel is the top advisor of five kings. Now we have Belshazzar. He's one of the top advisors. Archaeologists have found that in Babylon, in the palace, was a banquet hall that held 10,000 guests. That's how big this place was. At this time, when we come into the story with Daniel at age 80, Belshazzar had invited 1,000 guests of Babylonian descent, all of his buddies and cronies, and they were drinking so much wine, they said, "Listen, let's get the chalices and the bowls and the cups from the temple that those Jews use, and let's just use those." And so they brought them all out, and they started drinking from that, and they started praising the gods of silver and gold and brass and stone and wood. Now, I think God just had enough by now. Did you know that God even holds non-Christians in leadership accountable? Because the Bible says in every man's heart is a conscience, and they know what's right from wrong. So in the middle of this drink fest, all of a sudden, it's like the sky opens up and a bony hand comes down and scratches on the wall, "Mene, mene, tekel upharsin." Nobody understands what that means. It's just like a heavenly divine email. And he posts it on Belshazzar's wall. Now it says they all went white with fear. I mean, you would be too if you're just sitting here all of a sudden. Now this fiery flame and then this message. The king is so afraid and so filled with consternation. He's saying, "Get me the wisest magicians or conjurers of our land. We got to find out what this means." So they all come in. Nobody can interpret it. They can't decipher this cryptic message. The queen overhears the commotion. And it says here in verse 10, I'll read you what she says. It says, "The queen, hearing the voices of the king and his nobles, came into the banquet hall, and she said, 'May the king live forever. Don't be alarmed. Don't look so pale.'" Why? Why? And let's read what it says up on the screen. And again, it's at the top of your notes. Let's read it a second time. And this is the context by which he is defined. The queen comes in and says, "There's someone who'll be able to do this. He'll be able to decipher it. He'll tell us what's going on." Who's that? Daniel. Who is this guy? Let's read it. Would you read it with me? Go. "There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. This was because an excellent spirit, knowledge and insight, interpretation of dreams, explanation of enigmas, and solving difficult problems were found in this Daniel. So Daniel was brought before the king. And the king said, 'What is this? It's not Aramaic, it's not Hebrew, it's not Greek, it's not Persian, it's not Babylonian. We don't understand this language.' And Daniel said, 'Here's what it says.'" He's about to bring some tough news to Belshazzar. He's about to say to him, "You've been held accountable by God. Even though you're a godless man, God still holds you accountable. When God gives you a position or a leadership position, he still holds you accountable. That's why God's not just going to judge Christians. He's going to judge everybody in the end. Because the scripture says in the book of Romans, you don't need men to teach you anything because God has put a conscience in your heart. So you know, the Indians used to talk about that. That, oh, the great white spirit. Did they know Jesus? No, they just knew that there was one God somewhere. And the Hawaiians, the same thing. Now, the missionaries came in later and helped them to understand. But in the beginning, some people say, "Well, what if they haven't heard about Jesus? They know about the great white spirit or whatever. And they have a conscience. They know what's right or wrong, what's good or bad, because God put it in their hearts." And Daniel was about to tell Belshazzar, "You've been held accountable."
You've just heard part one of a message entitled Spirit of Excellence by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. In fact, let me give you just a taste of what you're in store for tomorrow.
The spirit of excellence is not something we produce, because you can't work hard enough, good enough, sharp enough, talented enough to please God. The spirit of excellence is not a result of my efforts. It's a result of God's Son's heart beating in my chest. Then the things that I do will have His blessings. He can take anything and turn it into a work of art, because He can see the heart of His Son beating in my chest.
Until next time, have a great day. And let the Holy Spirit produce in you a true spirit of excellence. Aloha.